Welcome to the 412 Podcast, a podcast from FBC Mustang in Mustang, Oklahoma. We are a church all about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, as Ephesians 4:12 tells us. And this podcast is all about giving you a behind-the-scenes look at what that looks like, the behind-the-scenes of the events, the efforts, the work that we do here as a church. My name is Jeremy Davis. I'm your host for another episode. And today we have a very special guest with us. We have Mr. Virgil Walker with us today. He serves as the co-host of the Just Thinking podcast. He's the executive director of operations for G3. He is has been an associate pastor. He's been involved in a number of ministries. He has a very large social media following. Well, I want to welcome Virgil Walker to the show. Welcome.
Hey, glad to be here with you, man.
I'm so glad you're here. So quickly, tell us a little bit about who you are and maybe where you come from.
Yep. Well, I'm an uninteresting character. I am from, I want to say Omaha, Nebraska, but I actually resided in Oklahoma for the better half of my life. I mentioned Omaha because most people know me from the Just Thinking podcast as Omaheezy or Omaha with the podcast that I do with Daryl Harrison. I was an associate pastor there of discipleship. I did that for 6 years before coming on staff with G3. And so I now serve as the vice president of ministry relations with G3 Ministries. Love what I get to do there, providing oversight for conferences like the one we're going to do here, as well as workshops, tours, overseas tours that we do. We did a British Reformation tour recently. We took about 50 people over to look at all of the different spots and places and spaces where people were martyred, where Christians were martyred for their faith.
Oh, wow.
So awesome time, a great experience there with regard to that. But I get the opportunity to provide oversight for that, as well as connecting with ministry partners like the partnership that we have with you guys.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. So you have some Oklahoma ties.
I do.
Are you OU, OSU?
I'm OU all the way, man.
Oh, no.
Come on,
okay.
Doc.
Well, I mean, that's the end of the podcast.
Oh,
right,
man.
There.
it's boomer sooner. Like, there's only one Oklahoma, bro. There's only one Oklahoma. That's how it goes down.
Yeah. No, well, I understand it. I don't like it, but I understand.
I have some friends who are OSU, though.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right. Well, you have more now. So.
Good.
So what brings you, now, well, currently you're in Georgia.
Yep.
Doing G3. And what does G3 stand for?
Yep, great question. Gospel, grace, glory.
Okay.
So those are the three G's, and just kind of have it all emblematic in a G3 symbol. This was the brainchild of Dr. Josh Bice, who's the founder and president of G3. He had the idea of bringing a theology conference to the local church. Had great connections, very similar to Pastor Michael here with regard to all the connections he has in so many spaces and places. And so he just wanted to do that where he was. Began as an idea in 2012. 2013 was the first G3 conference.
Okay.
Our church, Praise Mill Baptist Church, I have to tell people, it's Praise Mill, P-R-A-Y apostrophe S, not praise like praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So it was Ephraim Pray was the guy who gave the land and the space for the church about 180 plus years ago. So
okay.
Ephraim Pray, Praise Mill Baptist Church.
Okay.
He wanted to have a theology conference there, did so, loved what he was doing there. The place packed out in 2013, over 600 people were there, and the church probably, you know, holds about that many.
Yeah.
So from the inception, it was packed, and every year it couldn't grow because it was just there. In 2017, they decided to do it was the 500th year of the Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went to a convention center there in Georgia, in Atlanta, the GICC, Georgia International Convention Center, and they had 2,500 people show up. At the end of the year, what they do is they open up an early bird ticket and say, okay, we've got so many early bird tickets. Well, when they did that year, they had already sold out the church. And they had a decision to make. Do we come back here? And the rest is history. So 2018, 2019, 2020, it just expanded to about 4,500 people there in 2020.
Wow.
I had my first opportunity. I was working with Daryl Harrison on the Just Thinking podcast. And in 2020, we got asked to do a live podcast as a breakout there at the G3 conference.
Cool.
And so here I was in 2017 as a kid, like in a candy store going, this is phenomenal, right?
Yeah.
To where I'm now going to be on the platform there at the G3 conference. So this is like, I'm like my theological heroes are there, the Vody Bachums of the world, right? The Paul Washers, the Steve Lawsons, all guys you guys know.
Right.
I'm just going, this is insane. I'm on the platform. So we did our thing there. And after that was over, COVID hit, right shortly after that. And Josh circled back with me to ask me what I was, you know, what I'd plan to do with the rest of my life. I had a pretty large social media following, but was also involved in ministry, and decided, you know, he asked me, are you planning to be a pastor or not? And I said, I don't have a plan with regard to that. I'm in seminary, walking through the MDiv, but, you know, we'll see what happens. He said, well, I would love for you, A, to write for G3, at blog articles for G3, which I was happy to do. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, this is a great thing. So writing articles. And he said, I also would love to talk with you about kind of a plan that we're taking G3 to. Mm-hmm. He was a local church pastor who all he wanted to be was a local church pastor. He's part of this conference now that's taken on a life of its own. It's got 4,500 people. Mm-hmm. And he's thinking, what in the world do I do? And so he's wanting to pass this off. So I get passed this baton to go and participate. Josh did not know. He had watched me for years in social media. We would connect at different locations and spaces at conferences. What he didn't know is that I actually had an MBA while I was pursuing my theology degree. And so, and had a lot of experience in the military, kind of with logistics and planning and all kinds of stuff. Seemed to be a perfect fit for the role that he had for me. And we just, you know, that's kind of how things went. In 2021, I get there. December 2020, I take the job. 21, we're going into the next national conference. So I'm literally trying to pack up my family in Omaha, move to a new location there in Georgia, there in Douglasville, Georgia, while I'm planning a national conference at the same time. It's kind of like learning on the fly. Mm-hmm. So we're literally building it as we fly it, right?
Right.
Going into the conference, it was great. That year, we had 6,500 people show up at the national conference. It was one of the largest ever until just this past year in 2023. Where we had 8,300 people at the national conferences. So God has just really blessed the ministry. We've stayed focused on scriptural sufficiency, mm-hmm. and just a fidelity to the Word of God, and great preaching, great truth, and hopefully our goal here in 2025, we'd love to see it grow to 10,000. We'll see if God honors that, if that takes place, and we're working toward that with the best diligence that we can. In the meantime, we've got these regional conferences, which is why we're coming here.
Why you're here. Yeah. Well, that's great. And you guys have been faithful. The Lord has been faithful. And I know our church has benefited from you guys and many of our members. I have a few college students in my ministry that were just telling me they're at a G3 conference. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of big fans and followers here. That's great. Now, you mentioned seminary. What seminary did you go to?
Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Midwestern. Okay. I graduated from Midwestern last year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
between your MDiv? Did you get your MDiv?
I got my MTS.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was working on the MDiv, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like, okay, I was 10 classes short, mm-hmm. 30 hours, mm-hmm. which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you work full time, brother, that's a minute, right?
That's a lot.
So I started looking, I'm like, all I need is one class to finish out this MTS.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let me put that in my hip pocket and let me think about next steps. So mm-hmm. I did the same thing. December, I finished the last class. And so whatever the paperwork is to get the MTS to be mailed to me, because I'm not going to walk. But So what year did you graduate?
Just last year.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. All right, bro.
Yeah, that's right. So between the education and the haircut.
Sure.
I think some might mistake us for brothers.
They should.
Yeah.
They should.
So tell us more about why you are in Mustang for the last couple of days.
Here. Yeah, man, we are excited, honored to be here. We're excited to bring the Cessationist Conference here to First Baptist Mustang. We love your pastor, Michael Staten. We're grateful. I'm ecstatic because this is home to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get to come back home and see my people, see my brother,
that
I didn't even know from another mother, and be here at First Baptist Mustang. So we're ecstatic, looking forward to this conference. It was a challenge. I was mentioning to the team when we were meeting. A, that this particular conference is needed, and how charismaticism has so permeated so much of culture, even some of our more conservative evangelical spaces and places, to such a degree that we need to have these conversations. It was 10 years ago when Dr. John MacArthur did Strange Fire, and things have only gotten worse over that time period, so much so that, you know, in even in our evangelical SBC circles, for example, you're seeing aspects of charismatic worship. Mm-hmm. You're seeing aspects of charismatic preaching. And by that, I don't mean people speaking in tongues on platforms. What I mean is you'll hear the language being used. Well, God told me this, mm-hmm. or God told me that. And what doesn't follow that often is book, chapter, verse.
Yeah.
Right? I heard from God the other day, and what God said was this, or what God said was that. We're using that charismatic kind of language in the pulpit. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for places like this that where your pastor is teaching expositionally from the scripture.
Yeah.
He's walking through scripture by scripture, verse by verse, and explaining what the text means by what the text says.
Yeah.
That's how preaching is done. Unfortunately, too many of our circles now, even the conservative ones, are getting a word from the Lord the night before, jumping in the pulpit, mm-hmm. and you know, exclaiming things that really aren't biblical.
Yeah.
And so we need to ground things there.
So for the person who's saying, okay, well, you heard from the Lord versus the Bible says,
sure.
you're just splitting hairs there.
Yeah.
Not that we have any to split.
You and I don't.
but for the person who says, oh, you're just splitting hairs.
Yeah.
Why is it dangerous to let some of this language and stuff start seeping into our pulpit and into our churches?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. Biggest reason is because you're attributing to God, or at least to the Holy Spirit, something that he didn't say, right? That's critical.
Yeah.
And so we should have in our churches, we should have a high value of scripture. We should believe that scripture is sufficient. And if we believe that scripture is not only inerrant, because, you know, our SBC circles love to pound that drum. If we believe that scripture is inerrant and we don't believe it's sufficient, well, you have what you have now, which people are saying, well, I heard from the Lord this, this, and this.
Yeah.
If scripture is inerrant and we believe scripture to be sufficient to address every issue as it pertains to godliness and the life of the believer, then I don't need your quote unquote word from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the ever more sure word of faith, which is the word of God.
Yeah.
And so I think not only is the language problematic from that standpoint, but it causes people to believe that perhaps they need to get some other kind of quote unquote revelation.
Yeah.
Right? Scripture is not enough. Our pastor heard from the Lord, so now I must pray in such a way that I'm hearing from the Lord for what I must do next. Mm-hmm. And out of that, you have all kinds of dangerous doctrine that's not anchored in Scripture, and there's no way to validate it, because if you said it's from the Lord, then it must be. And if that person said it's from the Lord, then it must be, and there's no way to land the plane.
Yeah, that's so good, and that's so helpful, and I think something is so timely for where we are in the church and just in our culture today.
Mm-hmm.
So who is this specifically geared towards? Who your target audience?
Great
and as they are walking away from this conference, kind of what is your goal? What are you wanting them to walk away with?
No, that's a great question. I really kind of it's a multifaceted approach. One is we want true believers in God who want to be anchored in the Word, who want to understand the truth from Scripture better. They need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
One, we want them to be anchored with their feet firmly planted on the solid foundation of Scripture, rather than being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that's out there and available. So I'd say it's for the average everyday believer who wants to know what God's Word says, and have pastors and thoughtful men teach them what the Word of God means by what it says. That's mm-hmm. that's one audience. At the same time, I've got some friends. I mentioned I'm from Oklahoma, I've got some friends who are still caught up in charismaticism.
Yeah,
I've got some who I dearly love, who believe themselves to be doing things rightly. In fact, one of them I talked to last night while I was here. I've invited him to come. Why? Because I want him not to be tossed to and fro, but to be anchored in the Word of God.
Yep.
The genuine love that he has for the Lord I want to see him embrace the truths of Scripture to amplify that love all the more in something that's solid, rather than being taken advantage from by some pastor or preacher out there claiming that they heard a quote unquote word from the Lord and is going in a different direction that has my friend leaning into God for what God can give him rather than for who God is.
Yeah.
Right. And so those are the kinds of things that are important. I think definitely are we aiming our guns at those continuationists who say God said, well perhaps they'll feel that way. Mm-hmm. But that's actually not what we're trying to do. We're actually trying to equip, to train, to edify, encourage, and enrich believers in the truths of Scripture so that they're able to not be tossed to and fro, but also that they'll be equipped to go out and engage their friends, who many of whom are still caught up in false gospels.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, as you well know, especially Tulsa, Oklahoma, is just rampant with, from Oral Roberts to the Copelands and the Victory Christian Center and all the different places and spaces that Rhema Bible Church and all of those places and spaces where this false doctrine really came from.
Yeah. Well, and I was just thinking that as you're talking about that is, Oklahoma is such a, is so big on the prosperity gospel, and that overlaps so much into in the charismatic movement. I think this is a really good place to be having something like this. So for the listener who maybe doesn't know the word cessationist, define that for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Cessationist, it's the idea that there was a time when the apostles had gifts that were sign gifts. What they did was that those gifts enabled others to know that they were speaking on behalf of God. They may have a gift of healing. You'd read about this in Scripture where even Paul, his very shadow that was cast would heal people. So you'd see things like that in the first century church. But over a period of time, what you begin to see is that diminishing. You have Paul, same Paul, writing to Timothy who has a stomach illness. Take a little wine for your stomach, he tells him. We have that in Scripture. And so the idea that the sign gifts, tongues, prophecy, and the like were available to anyone at any time to be wielded at their will. We don't believe that's the case in place anymore. That we are in a time when we have the more sure word of prophecy, which is the word of God. And we can depend upon that word, that those gifts had a time, had a season, had a purpose that's no longer necessary for the mere fact that we now have the word of God. And so we know that, we understand that, we land on that. We want people to understand what it does not mean. And unfortunately, because of that definition, you have to kind of circle back and say what it does not mean is that we don't believe miracles happen today. We absolutely believe miracles happen today. We absolutely believe God can heal today. We absolutely believe that people can be prophetic. And by that, what we don't mean is a foretelling of the future. But what we mean is a declaration of the truth of the word of God.
That's
so we absolutely believe in those things. But there's a way in which they're demonstrated. And what we're seeing in the modern charismatic movement is not what that looks like in any way, shape, or form.
That's great. Well, that's very helpful. And how many people do you think will be at a conference like this?
Well, again, what's the capacity here again?
11-11.
Okay, I'm looking for 11-11.
So okay, there you go. Which, and if you include our youth center and some different places, we'll be doing overflow. Yeah. So I guess more than that. So maybe close to 1,500.
Hey, let's get it.
Yep.
Let's get it. Absolutely.
That's great. So thinking about having that many people here coming in from different places, in our planning meeting, we were talking about hotels and airports and restaurants and all of those things.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people here.
Yeah.
How many volunteers does it take for an event like this?
Man, I mean, anytime you have an event this size, you're looking at anywhere between 75 to 100 volunteers for something like this. They're in spaces and places that people don't necessarily see. Like the room we're in right now, you guys do live streaming in this space. There'll be people in this room helping us to live stream that won't ever be seen. You know, folks won't even know that they're back there. There'll be folks who are just doing nothing but making sure trash is is clean. Right. Whenever I do a conference, one of the two biggest things that I try to think about is food and restroom care, right? Mm-hmm. People have to eat, and those restrooms had better be clean, yeah. right? And somebody, while what gets put on the pamphlet, on the flyer, are the faces of all the speakers on the stage,
right.
which probably should, on some other flyers, you know, Brother Joe, who cleaned that bathroom.
That's
so
right.
that, yeah, so that you didn't walk in and it was a train wreck mess. Because those, what happens at a conference once people leave is they'll talk about this great speaker, but they'll also think about, man, that bathroom experience was something else, right?
Yep, that's
and
right.
so there's ministry happening all over the place. But yeah, to answer your question directly, it's usually a 10%. So if you have 8,000 people, it's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 800 volunteers. If you have something, you know, 3,000, about 300, and this will be probably about 100 or so that'll be volunteering.
So we'll be, as a church, we will be staffing all these volunteer positions. And for a regional conference, as you said in our meeting, that is something that you're looking for just our church members to be a part of for something like this. What is the benefit, both financially, there's the benefit there, but also kind of just the lasting impact. What's the benefit for volunteering with something like this?
Well, again, for volunteers, one, getting a chance to kind of see behind the scenes and kind of experience a little bit of something different than everyone else gets to experience. And to know, hey, I was a part of that. When you see videos that are put up or some speaker or something that happened, you more times than likely have a story behind what took place. You know, I think about there's a video that we did for our Q&A at the national conference where there's about 13 chairs on the platform. Because I was behind the scenes, I could tell you, you know, how out of order those men were and some crazy stories that I won't record. We can talk about them offline.
Yeah.
but some crazy stories about what happened with a Paul Washer or a Vody Bachum or what have you. And the volunteers were in some of those spaces and places so they got a chance to see those things and experience those things. But to know that the lasting impact that someone's life was actually transformed by the power of the Word of God, that you were a part of helping to make that possible. It's an absolute big deal. We talked earlier in our meeting about the ministry of hospitality and the importance of it. It is huge. I know that it's something here at First Baptist Mustang you guys appreciate, know, and your pastor acknowledge that this is purposed. You guys purposed to do that. We feel the same way at G3. Mm-hmm. I spent a great deal of time when we went on the horizon of a conference to let people know that are volunteering. The people that are attending, they may show up frustrated or in whatever kind of condition they show up in, but you've got to recognize that person has taken time off work, spent money on a flight sometimes, spent money on transportation, spent money on a hotel, spent money to register. So that's all an investment on their part. So when they get here, people should be thinking about how best to care for them, how best to love on them, how best to thank them for coming, and that we want to bring something to them that is of great value for that kind of an investment. We're excited about being here primarily because of the heart of your pastor and the leadership team here. We're also excited about it from a standpoint of our G3 folks because we know how to love on folks. So we're excited that when they come, they'll have that experience as well.
Yeah, well, hospitality, the ministry of hospitality is something that's very important to us here. And we love to get to love one other believers and have fellowship with other believers and support and love one other churches. So we hope we get to have the opportunity to do that. Well, Virgil, is there anything else about the conference that you would like to share?
Yeah. Well, if you're interested, you can go to g3men.org, g3men.org. And your folks, I know this is for Mustang. I'm just going to put it out there. You guys have a special code so that you can get 30% off on the conference. And so I think it's Mustang. So once you go to register, you put in the code Mustang and you get 30% off on your registration. And so
wonderful.
We're hoping everybody will be there.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And where can people follow you, listen to you, all of those things?
I'm everywhere. You can find me mainly on G3's website, g3men.org. Okay. I write a weekly blog there. Monthly now, Daryl Harrison and I are doing Just Thinking, the Just Thinking podcast. You can go to justthinking.me and find our podcast. I think Daryl just told me this morning that I think the next one that we're going to do for March is about black conservatism. And so I have no idea where he's going to go with that. But it'll be interesting to see topic wise. We just did one on abortion. I do a weekly update with Jason Whitlock on his show Fearless. So you can catch me there. I'm on Twitter, easy to find. Virgil Walker, OMA for Omaha. Any of your social media platforms, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can just find me.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll go and follow you. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was great having you on.
Honored to be here. I hope it's not my last time, so we got to figure something out.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Sounds good.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, this has been an excellent episode, and I'm so grateful for Virgil and his willingness to come on and share a bit about the Sensationist Conference that's coming here to FBC Mustang. As a reminder, that conference will be taking place October 3rd through 5th of this year. And for our church members, we will have more information coming out during services and in bulletins and our newsletters. So be looking out for those and opportunities to volunteer and be a part of what's going on here. If you'd like more information about our church here at FBC Mustang, you can go to fbcmustang.org. Thank you again, listener, for joining us for another episode. We look forward to having you back next time.